Professor, thanks for hopping on the line with us today.
Hi, John. Good to be with you.
Oh, it's always great to talk with you, my friend. I have been reading on this show, I think every other week, about a new Starbucks, whether it's locally or across the country, voting to unionize. And I have no idea how that process works, and I have no idea how much further they have to go. And you and I were chatting over email, and you talk about unionization is a marathon, not a sprint. Can you explain that a bit?
Certainly. Well, the first step in the race is to unionize, and that means to have a representation election. So that means a group of workers got together and they signed authorization cards saying that a particular organization can represent them. An election was held by a federal agency called the National Labor Relations Board. It's a majority vote outcome. So if you get 50% plus one in favor of the union is then certified as the bargaining representative. But the marathon idea is, so now you have roughly 16 Starbucks stores as of early April, I haven't checked since then, that have organized. 160 more are in the stages of having this kind of election. Let's assume they all vote in a union. Then they have to sit down and negotiate a first contract with the employer. And Starbucks has engaged a top-flight set of management lawyers, and they're going to bargain aggressively and hard, and they're going to make the union work for everything that they can get in a labor agreement. It's very hard to get a first contract, not impossible. But over time, if a union is not successful in getting a first contract, then an employer can petition to have another election, and it's called a decertification election. And if workers are grumbling and say, gosh, that union idea didn't work out, they can vote out the union. So this is a first step in the process, but not the ultimate outcome.
Are there protections for the workers who voted to unionize in case the company decided, I don't want to talk to you about this, we're not doing anything?
The protections are weak. Yes, there are protections. I've studied this for most of my career. There are overt and subtle ways that an employer can push back. The overt way is to fire union organizers, and they can tie this up before the NLRB and then appellate courts for years. And even if they are ordered to reinstate the person, it's everybody else has seen the example made of this fired employee. There are effective subtle means, such as just changing the schedules of workers. And typically the people who are organized are the full-timers and the longer-term employees. And we have seen some anecdotal evidence that at Amazon, for example, they're taking the full-timers and giving them part-time schedules. And the inference, can't prove it, but the inference is they're trying to unsettle these people and give them less, you know, weekly income and get them to move to another job. We have a very turnover heavy labor market. And so so all of these things can go to a National Labor Relations Board judge, and it can be argued as an unfair labor practice. But even if a worker wins or a union wins, the delay involved is so long that it really becomes problematical.
Is the best defense that workers have that want to unionize good PR, or the fact of what the labor market looks like right now, or is it a combination of both?
It's both. I mean, we've got this great resignation thing going on in our labor markets. It's stunning, John. There were 47 million workers who left their job last year in 2021. I mean, that's an unprecedented number. And that the resignation rate has been ticking up gradually since 2009. A lot of people didn't pay attention to it, but it really crescendoed with the pandemic. And so with that kind of turnover, employers are scrambling to hire. So, you know, people can take chances on forming a union. There's that. But the other thing that's going on, particularly with Starbucks and the Amazon labor union, is you've got social media savvy people who are using their cell phones and using, TikTok and other platforms to get out the message and organize. And this has really befuddled these large multi-billion-dollar corporations, because this is a more agile, spontaneous form of communication, and it's hard to tamp that down.
Yeah. I know this is impossible to prognosticate, but as you look forward, as we've seen less and less people in unions over the decades, and correct me if I'm wrong with that stat, at least that's what I have been told. Do you see a reverse?
You're right about that.
Okay.
You're right about that. So go ahead.
I'll always let you interrupt if I am correct about something. That's always the rule on this show. No, but do you see and over the next 10 years, maybe a push more towards it? Or is it still that hard to do it, that maybe the tides don't change as quickly as some people would hope? Not saying everyone, but some people would hope.
Yeah, that's a hard question. But I think union membership rates have bottomed out. I think there will be a gradual uptake. I really do. And I think it's because a newer generation I think when you and I came out of school or a trade school or wherever, we had the idea that we'll stay with an employer a long time, maybe our entire career. That's not realistic for people. So already people are entering the labor market thinking that this job is kind of a short-term gig. That's how they're planning. So there's less at stake. So I think that bodes well for union organizing. John, I think the bigger challenge is what happens when more and more work becomes automated, and we get artificial intelligence displacing work, and then there just aren't the jobs to have to unionize for. Yeah. Now that's a kind of a darker picture, but people do think about that, and we don't know where that's going to go. So apart from the labor law dynamics, I think technology poses some challenges long term for just the employment relationship.
Makes sense, Professor. Always great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you, John.
Putting the labor relations and what's happening with unions in a nice perspective there. Hey, that's going to do it for Your Money Matters. We're going to be back tomorrow with another great show. Promise you that on this Wednesday. News next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.